With Laura Fox.
Podcast.
Now, in the papers recently was what looked like an absolutely mad story. It said that in the future, instead of sending people to prison, that they just have the memory of going to jail implanted in their brains. So are we talking total recall or total nonsense? Well, I don't know, but I know a woman who does. Journalist Elaine Burke of For Tech's Sakes podcast is on the line now. Elaine, you're very welcome back to the show.
Hi, how you doing?
I'm not so bad. How are you?
I'm good. I know you're out and about, so we can actually see each other face to face now today.
No, for once. But to be honest, at this rate, I don't think we need to. Can you explain a little bit more about what this story is all about? Because it's a little bit mad.
Yeah. It's mad. It's definitely what it is. So, I mean, this is one of those things that it gets picked up by the media, and that's why we're talking about it. But it gives the sense of being based on science, but I've looked into the science. It's very, very loosely based on science. It really is more of a sci-fi concept by a sci-fi creator called Hashim El Ghali. He is a video creator. He puts videos up on YouTube of these kind of science fiction, often dystopian visions of the future. And they're very much things that you'd expect to see pop up in an episode of Black Mirror or something like that. And this idea is Cognify, and it's been labelled the prison of the future. And I suppose it has enough dystopian elements that it got a lot of interest peaked. And the concept is that you wouldn't spend years in prison. You'd have the option, if you'd been convicted, to go through a process whereby you would have manufactured memories implanted into your brain. You wouldn't spend years going through that, but you would feel like you'd gone through the experience of years of living these manufactured memories. So it would shorten the time frame that you would need to be locked up. And you could have things like, say, if you were a violent offender, you could relive the perspective of any attack that you made from the perspective of a victim over and over again in a perception of a long time. Okay, this is fiction. Don't get too worried.
Okay, fair enough.
A fun fictitious concept. But it's where it's coming from is this idea that you can manipulate memory using maybe some sort of like new forms of biological manipulation and new forms of neuroscience that are being experimented and even using AI to generate those memories. But it's very, very loosely connecting these different strands.
I'm like absolutely terrified at the thoughts of all of this, but it sounds really interesting. What do we know? Go back to that about like we're always talking about AI naturally because I mean we can't stop ourselves. But well, like what do we know about how a memory can be manipulated without a brain implant? Like what's the story there?
That's science that I find genuinely very interesting. So this one is more about, you know, injecting things in your brain and horrific circumstances where people are going through some sort of like a Clockwork Orange type of a scenario. But if you are exposed to content, it can actually change your perspective on things. And that's something that has been looked at even by psychologists here in Ireland in University of Limerick. And they did a study called Face Off. And it was about trying to see if they could trick people into thinking that movie remakes that never happened, make them think that they did happen. And they used different techniques to do that. And some of them were deepfakes. So they deepfaked, say, a version of The Matrix with Will Smith cast as Neo. Or, you know, various recastings of films that people would know. I think they might have even used Total Recall in one of them, which would have been funny. And then they also had a group that they just exposed to content that maybe gave text descriptions of the existence of those films, maybe referred to them in various media that they were reading. And there wasn't a huge difference in the manipulation of memory there. Our memories are very fallible. And nearly the same number of people thought that the films existed that had seen the deepfakes that had read the fake text as well. So you don't even have to go to great lengths to manipulate people's memories and thoughts around things, which is that's really fascinating to me.
Elaine, I'm laughing, but I'm absolutely terrified. That's why I'm having a little giggle at this. I'm going, this is insane, because you can totally see it happening, even with what comes up on your Instagram feed the whole time. Like, does it happen often, though, where we get the whole Father Dougal thing with tech stories, confused dreams with reality? Like, is AI actually going to take over all of our jobs? This is what we want to know.
Yeah. I suppose that's the big fear here. And it doesn't help that you have, like, people putting out kind of these wild concepts that kind of see people generating video using AI and being like, oh yeah, let's just turn that into a scenario where we inject a video into someone's brain. Like, even to do that is just really connecting the dots in a very, very questionable way. But yeah, it's just a case of like, people sometimes take scientific concepts or technological advancements and create dystopian worlds around them. Like, even some of this work was based on, say, research into mice that has found that maybe they could change their emotional reaction to memory, or they also, with like marine snails, which again wouldn't have as complex brains as we do as humans, but they did what they called transferring of a memory in marine snails. But the reason why this research takes place is for things like better understanding of neuroscience, better understanding of the brains and neuroplasticity and things like that, or to even help with developing therapies for people with PTSD. They're not built to create prison systems and torture people. And I would say one of the biggest detractors to this would be the investment that you'd need to do this would never be invested into a prison system. That's the other big reason why this would never happen, even if it was possible.
That's the reality of it all. Speaking of reality, let's bring it back a little bit closer to reality, because what is the holdup with driverless cars?
Okay, right. So it's complicated, because you can definitely create, at this point with the technology, autonomous vehicles that can map an environment, can make their way around a mapped environment, can even deal with maybe obstacles in that environment that may be irregular and not like pre-programmed. You can do things like that with the technology that we have around sensoring, around what's called computer vision, and all those kind of things. But when you want to release that onto the roads, where it's a much more variable set of circumstances, our roads, you are doing a lot when you're driving, in terms of reacting to various different things. And you are also mixing them with human drivers who themselves are unpredictable and very variable, and have a lack of consistency. And when it comes to programming things, you want systems and you want consistency so that you can build programs that can follow a certain logical path, and they can make decisions quickly, but those decisions are following kind of steps and logic that were programmed into them. Very, very hard to do that when it comes to a mix of human beings on the road and just the roads in general being very unpredictable. So what we're seeing is that technology is advancing more in controlled spaces. So you're talking maybe people who work in quarries and things like that around big, heavy vehicles. And maybe some of those vehicles might be automated. But like, if they can create scenarios where they can test this stuff, where there's less road users, they will progress faster. And there's even a case where there was an experiment done, I think it was in an area in the Arctic Circle, where you wouldn't get a lot of drivers on these roads, and these would be very hazardous and treacherous roads, and it also have extreme weather conditions as well. So it was actually a way of testing how these vehicles would fare in extreme weather conditions. And the idea was that they were going to create like autonomous ambulances. So if someone in these remote areas that don't have a lot of access and also don't have a lot of risk of other drivers being on those roads, but do have other risks in terms of weather, so it'd actually be dangerous to send a human emergency medical professional up to these places. Maybe if we create an automated system, that could help. So an experiment have been done in that kind of arena. And that's, like I said, kind of tests two things, the extreme weather, but also just the autonomous driving of it all, and can it manage to actually bring people safely back to a hospital from remote areas. That would be good if we could figure that out. Yeah. But it will take so much effort, and you will have, like, if driverless cars are put on the road, you will have people injured and dying from it. And that will really, really make people put pause on that kind of thing, because you have to, like, you're actually making a decision there of like, how many people is acceptable to die or be maimed so that people can be chauffeured around in driverless cars.
Yeah, like with everything, I mean, I like the idea of the automated ambulance where it can actually help people, but then there is the aspect of it as well that is just wildly way too dangerous. Look, there is a lot of transport in this. One thing I want to ask you about very, very quickly is, it was something that got a lot of attention and then it went a bit quiet. It was Elon Musk's Hyperloop. And what was that, and why isn't it getting me from home to work in 8 seconds? Because that would be quite handy.
Yeah, so this is something that kind of ties into this, in that what you get is, sometimes you get people with big ideas that are loosely based on scientific and technological concepts that we know to be true, and they try to extrapolate from that a big idea. And sometimes that pans out. Like, even the fact that we have the internet is because some guy based in Kerry was like, let's create a transatlantic cable under the sea and it will link America and Ireland. And that was an incredible feat of engineering, but it took a lot of tries and it took a lot of investment and a lot of going wrong to get that right. And people did think that he was a fantasist at that time. And now it's something we take for granted, the fact that we can send things through these subsea cables all the time. And with things like Hyperloop, the concept there is nearly creating like a vacuum tube that you travel in. But obviously, like, and again, in terms of physics, that should be possible. But getting it right and getting to the phase where it does work correctly obviously takes experimentation and things going wrong. And you certainly don't want to be putting people in transport on a system that could be a hazard to them, a danger to them. So when it comes to public safety, you've got even higher bars to reach in terms of deploying something. So they do have these competitions regularly where people are trying to design like the capsules that would be able to survive this journey and not kill people that are traveling on it.
The main focus of this.
Yeah, but it is kind of like this, it's nearly like a hackathon type approach to it. And it's just people doing this kind of science and engineering to see, like, could we make this happen? Could this be possible? But it takes a long, long time to kind of make the incremental discoveries and improvements that will make something like that happen. It's not to say that it's a bad concept. It's just science really does take a lot of time and a lot of experimentation and a lot of effort.
That's okay. If I'm being honest, I'm quite happy just scrolling on Instagram and TikTok at the minute. Like, you know, we can take a pause on everything else for a second. Elaine, thank you so much for taking the call with us today about why we shouldn't believe everything we read about the future. That was Elaine Burke from For Tech's Sakes podcast. We'll be right back after these.
With Laura Fox. Podcast.